I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Beating up children, 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 beating up children.
You would beat up children if you had a chance.
Beating up children, beating up children if you're a child.
Beating up children.
Yeah.
If you're a child. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy and I'm Alistair Tremblay Virtual.
There's, Andy, there's a party in my pants.
Yes.
And it's been shut down by the police.
By the police, yeah. This, you know, there's a party in my pants and we just had a noise complaint. There shouldn't be really be, like, up until the invention of mobile phones,
yeah.
I would say that there would be almost no reason for noise to come from somebody's pants. Is that fair to say?
Are what we about in... farting?
Fuck, Alistair. Man, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're also, you know, then we're going into sort of then there's genital farting with both vaginal and penile.
Penile?
Penile farting.
Is that a thing?
Penile queef.
Is that a thing?
You don't penal queef?
Am I supposed to? This is like...
It's actually... They say that you should penal queef at least three times a day.
This is one of those things where it is possible. It is possible that that's just one of those things that's out there that, you know, of course you wouldn't see it on the news because they don't do news reports about farts, do they?
Right? No, I don't think so.
You know, when would this ever come up?
Right. I think maybe
it's entirely possible that everybody's penal queefing.
Yeah.
All the people with penals are queefing. And I haven't heard about it. And it turns out that I'm the freak.
And that you've got this weird storage of gas in your bladder.
Yeah.
It'd be awful to find out.
I think this is something. I think Alistair, that this is a sketch idea.
Really?
Yeah. I think absolutely somebody going to the doctor and being told.
You don't penal queef?
Yeah.
Okay, and how are your penal queefs? Sorry, my what? Your penal queefs.
But the possibility is that we could then extend something like that where it's flipped around, where every extra iteration of people, it's flipped the other way, right? So the doctor asked the patient about penal queefs, right? And then... The patient doesn't have a clue what the doctor's talking about. The doctor says, "Well, let's call in another doctor for a second opinion." Second doctor comes in. He's never heard of penile queefs, right? But then they get someone else in who's heard of penile queefs, and then they go to like some administrative board and they talk to the Surgeon General, and then they and then every second person hasn't.
He's like, "Yes, I'm an expert in penile flatulation.
I wrote my dissertation paper on."
Yeah. I mean, if you have a spare 6 hours, you could read through it, see my results, or you know, if you want me to summarize for you, it was positive, and then yes, there are penile queefs.
If people argue that the penile queef is a myth, it's not actually. There's no such thing.
All right, well,
it's not possible for men to penile queef. It's actually
Just urine.
It's actually just. So it's just a very fine spray of urine, that appears like air.
Yeah, it's already surprising that urine doesn't let off any gas.
It does, right? Surely it does.
Well, I mean, there's that steam on a cold day when you pee on a cold day. But that's just really hot urine, isn't it? Can you get sort of steam burn from that steam that comes off of? Peas?
Presumably, pee-pees? Absolutely, you can. The steam, pee-pee steam.
Pee-pee steam burn.
Pee-pee steam burn. The guy who discovered phosphorus, right? Yeah. He did it so he was like some ancient Roman Greek guy or whatever, really, really long time ago. But you did it by collecting a whole lot of urine in buckets. Have I told you about this?
Collected
a whole lot of urine in buckets and dried it out in his basement, and then he boiled it and then all this stuff and discovered phosphorus.
So wait, he wasn't the guy who discovered urea?
He might have also discovered urea, but he also discovered phosphorus.
Yeah, right.
That stuff that glows in the dark.
Is phosphorus in urea?
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd say probably. Yeah. So maybe he discovered urea, broke that down.
Yeah.
Discovered phosphorus.
Along the way, yeah.
Now, you'd think that you'd discover phosphorus in those little... You know when you go into the beach at nighttime? You know when you go night swimming in the ocean?
Oh, yeah, Alistair, I absolutely know about night swimming.
You,
I'm a very free spirit,
yeah.
Right? And I find that at the change of every season, if I go night swimming, it clears up a lot of my energy. All right, and I am really well placed to receive in the coming months the messages that the universe is sending me.
Of course, yeah.
I eliminate a lot of the interference.
But how do you get the energy to put into practice the messages that the universe sends?
I connect my my nipples via wires to a stand lithium-ion battery, and I charge it. Crystal wires, Alistair. Yeah, they're crystal wires. Graphene.
But regular batteries?
Yeah, standard battery. It's a drill battery.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
what were we just talking about?
I mean, this is a baptism of fire for people listening to this podcast, right?
Yeah.
This episode so far.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where, God, I hope nobody's playing this out loud to anyone.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a fear now that this has happened once.
Now that we're aware that we never consented to that, all right?
That's fine. I'm happy for people to do things that I don't consent to. I consent to you doing things that I don't consent to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good open, position to put yourself
in. Absolutely. Mm. And one day I'm going to be in court and that's going to be played back to me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really amazing.
And you said, I never said you could play that back.
No, I think that would be the greatest joke on me, and I would appreciate it. You know what? Despite me being out of pocket due to
legal costs,
and I guess something bad's probably happened to me for me to decide to go to court.
I would hope so. Yeah, I hope you're not just wasting the court's time. I also hope that it wasn't something really good that happened to you, and we're not in some dystopian future where because of the left and the liberals and their relentless drive for equality, that even people who do good things to people, oh, now that's a crime. I'm just trying to do something nice for someone for once, and now I'm the one who's being treated like the asshole. I'm being dragged in front of the courts, because everyone's got to be the same. Everyone's got to be the same under this, left-a-Nazi.
Left-a-Nazi.
Liber fascists.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, Andy. Maybe in time we will have developed a positive way of suing somebody. Suing somebody, marge them.
I'll see you in court. Because society is very keen to get involved in the punishment of people.
Yeah.
But where's your legal recourse if you want to thank somebody to the full extent of the law?
Well, because sometimes you offer somebody money for, let's say, for paying for breakfast,
exactly,
and they don't
they
accept
refuse
it.
You say, where's my recourse?
What's the end point?
I will see you in court.
I'll see you in court. I'm going to marge the pants off of you.
Onto you.
Yeah, I'm going to marge
the shirt
pants.
Onto you.
Yeah, I'm going to marge this. This $100 bill into your pants.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good. In fact, I'm calling it. That's the end of the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, that's the end of the episode. We're going to take us through what we've come up with so far.
Right, penal queef and reverse sue, also known as the marge.
I'm not sure that marge is the opposite of sue.
No,
because really
know.
It should be the opposite of something.
Oh, so you think it should be like the frank?
Yeah,
I'm going to frank you.
Yeah. No, you're
I can
right.
call it the Frank.
No, the Marge is good.
I mean the Noel. I'm going to Noel the pants onto you.
Noel.
Noel.
Noel. No, I don't like that word. Okay. That word, it doesn't have enough edges.
Clifford?
Noel is like a cloud.
Yeah.
You know? Or mist, even.
No, it's not misty. It's got a chewiness to it.
You know, the word knoll, that L at the end there, it's impossible for the human ear to detect exactly when you've stopped saying the word knoll. Right? I reckon if we analyse the waveform, it's possible that you're still saying knoll. Just very, very slightly.
Do you think
it just fades out like that?
Do you think
it's like an old song, like the Beach Boys?
No, but they do end at some point, those songs.
No, they're still going. They're just real quiet. They asymptotically approach silence, but they've never stopped.
They've never actually reached silence.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you think over time, all those songs
make up the cosmic background radiation?
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, at some point there's going to be some kind of like huge amplification wave that's from all those background songs that never quite faded out entirely.
Yeah.
And that maybe there's just one point in history where they all sync up and their ups create this superposition of this really high.
Yes.
It could happen.
Almost there.
From all the Beach Boys songs that were fading out, that
I'm scared. That could be how the world ends. Not with a whimper, but with a bang.
With a I'm just going to write old song fade out.
Okay.
Big bang.
I mean, that'd be great if somebody came up with a theory, because you could mathematically prove when all those songs are next due to sync up. It's like the aligning of the planets, right? And then it would be, you know, like, and then people use the aligning of the planets to predict when the end of the universe is going to be.
Mm.
Right? Somebody worked out that all the drum beats in all these songs are going to line up at some point,
like
in
a bunch of blinkers at the lights,
at the traffic lights,
Yeah,
then and then, you know, so it's like 2012 or whatever. Say 2019. They're all going to line up again, and then that'll be the end.
I'm going to Ken the pants onto you.
Ken, that's quite good. Raphael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No? Sure. It's just so exotic.
The full extent of the law. I just love that expression.
The full extent.
Yeah. Going to get you for everything. It'd be good to sort of get the complete suite of legal things. Because, you know, I think there's a lot of people who specialise in one particular area of crime. You know, be it, you know, fraud or, you know, parking infringements or something.
Yeah.
But it'd be great to see a real all-rounder. You know, somebody who can do it all.
Yeah, but, I mean, it also would be great if you were suing somebody with the full extent of the law, if you actually did sue them with the full extent of the law. Like,
charge them with everything.
Charge them with everything. Not just, like, let's say it's a, you know, let's say it's a sort of a contract breach.
Yes.
But could you get them with, like, you know, torts and real estate law and sort of business law, and could you get them with criminal law?
Yeah.
And sort of maybe like building, with the building code?
Discrimination.
Discrimination. Yep. Anti-discrimination. Sort of traffic.
Yes, traffic, sort of traffic.
You know, traffic fines and things like that.
Yes, yes. And
mail fraud.
Yeah, I want to know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to know what that is.
Like, you bought a stamp, but you actually, you didn't actually put anything in that envelope.
When the postie stops outside your letterbox, but then doesn't drop anything off, is that mail fraud?
Yeah, it's close.
It's definitely sort of mail deception, or conspiracy with intent to deceive, to mail deceive.
I think there's definitely some emotional damages that you could claim.
Oh, my heart is broken.
Not enough though. They wouldn't, you know.
They wouldn't cover.
Like, you'd make a judge angry.
Yeah.
The thing is, because, you know, his time, what is he seeing, like 90 cases a day? This guy, small claims court.
90 Ks a day, mate.
90 Ks.
Ks.
Ks. I feel like there was something between penal queef and reverse suit that we forgot.
I don't know. That felt like a pretty seamless transition to me.
Is a trudge monkey something?
A trudge monkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it a bad thing?
I'm being a trudge monkey. No, it's one of the most beautiful things you can say to a woman.
Wait, what is trudge?
To trudge is to walk in a resigned fashion.
Okay.
So applauding reluctantly.
Applauding?
Yeah, it's a reluctant plod, I'd say, a trudge.
Applauding, not applauding.
No, no.
So not like walking sadly.
No, it's a plod.
Yeah, applaud.
Not applaud.
Yeah, applaud. I'm in a weird mood. So what is a trudge monkey an expression? Why did it come to my mind?
I would say that, you know, as the mind is made up of a whole lot of connections and interconnections and interconnections.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's the space between connections.
Yeah, and space between connections.
And, the connective tissue is connecting with each other.
That's right. Yeah, everything. So it's constant random motion of ideas and concepts. And
think
just,
about that.
A couple just collided.
Let's say you made a bridge to connect two pieces of land. And then you made another bridge to connect another two pieces of land. And then you made a bridge to connect those two bridges.
Bridge.
Yeah. Goes up the river.
A bridge that goes up the river. Oh, man, this is going to blow bridging wide open. Wide open.
Yeah.
I mean,
an actual bridge over the River Kwai.
Yes. It's really a bridge across the River Kwai, what we got at the moment. Yeah. But I'm talking over. Why? Why not? Kwai?
Yeah.
Kwai not? I think also the idea that a bridge needs to connect things at all is probably a little old-fashioned, you know?
Wow, yeah. So, like...
Kind of bridge just be?
That's Yeah, sure. I mean, could really redefine what a bridge can be.
Alistair, I'm really happy for you to write a bridge up a river, right? And I think let's make it this a four-part series, all right? And this is about bridge builders, right?
Yeah.
This is about third generation of bridge builders. Their dads were bridge builders.
Yeah.
Their mothers were
bridge builders.
Bridge builders.
Designers or builders?
Designers and builders.
Okay.
It's a vertically integrated company.
Sort of like writer-directors.
Yeah. I want a bridge that goes straight up.
Yeah, right. So it never has to... Well, I guess you're bridging the ground with the sky.
Yeah, we're connecting man to the stars.
I mean, it's essentially what a ladder is.
No.
No?
No.
A ladder doesn't...
You're right. A ladder is an upwards bridge. And Alistair, I think in stand-up comedy, if you talked about that on stage... I'd enjoy that.
Okay.
I think that's a comedy premise.
Four-part series. I would really actually make a four-part series about bridge designer builders.
Totally. But see, what I like is that there's these generations of bridge people, right? And I like that they've always been pioneers.
Mm.
And it's almost like the Hank Williams dynasty, Hank Williams Jr. and Hank Williams III.
Yeah.
Right? We're all worked in the country music field, but then Hank Williams III, he introduced a whole lot of extra elements that are kind of like metal kind of stuff, and you know, he's got all sorts of weird influences. And I think that's what these people who, the third generation, build the bridge up the river.
Yeah. I mean, at least one.
Yeah.
You could get rid of the river altogether. You have to trudge up that river so you can really build that bridge over it.
Get rid of it altogether. What do you mean? From the idea or from reality?
No, the bridge. I mean, sorry, the river.
The river. Why are you getting rid of the river? What are you building the bridge up?
Eh?
What are you building the bridge up if there's no river?
Well, no, you're still building it over where the river is.
Right. But the river's gone.
Well, eventually we'll go, I think.
Why?
I don't know. I just think that maybe, you know, there'll be so much sort of construction there and things like that. You'll have to build so many foundations and things like that to kind of keep that to get that bridge going, you might have to get rid of the river altogether.
It'd be great if in the age of exploration, right, of like, you know, your Captain Cooks and your Magellans and your Columbi.
Well, I'm familiar with the age of exploration.
Yeah, great. Well, they're sailing all over the world. If we'd never invented boats, we'd just perfected the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd just start out building a bridge, you know, and you're going to build a bridge to the West Indies, and then you make landfall.
Yeah.
Well,
it's the bridge as a mode of transportation.
Yes,
it's built the bridge building as a mode of transportation.
I mean, that's really what the lemmings do in that computer game Lemmings, isn't it?
I suppose so. Yeah, there's that one who's going flip to flip to flip to,
and you go,
and then you get. I mean, they really could have gone way further. I feel like with that Lemmings world.
Yeah, you think we could still be playing Lemmings?
I think so.
Yeah.
What about 3D Lemmings? What about 4D Lemmings?
I reckon 3D Lemmings is a thing.
Yeah.
I would confidently say that there's Lemmings 3D.
Okay.
But.
Well, then why wasn't it good enough that I heard about it?
Probably wasn't very good.
Yeah, I imagine. It's probably hard to do.
And probably actually loses a lot of the magic of what it was that made Lemmings appealing in the first place.
Yeah.
Simplicity.
It's true.
You know, and their green hair. Do they have green hair?
I think so, in a purple smock.
Like a sack thing that they were wearing.
I guess it's weird they were wearing clothes at all.
It's weird that they're being called lemmings.
Because they're not actually lemmings?
I don't think so.
Like those, are they a mammal? They're like a rodent lemmings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they closer to an otter? Is an otter?
Closer to an otter than what?
Than a rodent.
No, I think they're...
Or do you think an otter is a rodent?
Wow.
'Cause
I think there's a chance that an otter is a rodent. Would you say a beaver's a rodent?
Oh, beaver does have rodent qualities.
Like teeth.
Yeah.
And then you got the capybara. Yeah. You've obviously got big rodents in the Americas.
Just sort of a fat, wet rat, isn't it?
Real trudge monkey.
Is it a thing, though?
Trudge monkey's not a thing. No, you just made that up.
But why would you suggest that I should call a woman that?
And
why would you suggest that she would like it?
Well, because it seems to me to be such a baffling yet undeniably not appealing thing. It's one of those new phrases that comes into the language where, without knowing what it means, we can certainly rule out a bunch of stuff. Like trudge monkey is not a synonym for graceful.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Trudge monkey has got nothing to do with
penmanship.
Penmanship, yeah. So it's self-limiting in that way, the trudge monkey. Third generation bridge builders up a river. What were we talking about? Otters, lemmings.
No, building bridges of mode of transportation. I think that's one of the people.
I think that's something. I think that's probably its own sketch.
Well, I mean, we've got a 4-part series here.
Yeah,
we need to fill out one of the things, so he'll be his own guy.
Okay. Well, but my problem with that then is that we already started so radical.
What with the bridge?
Episode one is because we're going chronologically through time.
Are we?
Yes.
I thought we were just...
Obviously we're doing it chronologically. It's a 4-part series. Part one is the age of exploration.
No, but I thought you said we were looking at third generation...
Fourth.
Well, you said third, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I changed it.
Yeah, that's cool. But like, so third-generation designer builders,
yeah,
right? And so I thought we were looking at sort of modern-day descendants of designer builders, fourth generation. We're looking at what are they doing now for this old technology that is still revolutionizing it.
But the age of exploration one has to be a historical one, and therefore it has to be through the ages.
Well, I mean, he could just be like... re-examining how life could have gone. And
so he's just talking about it, is he?
Well, no, he's doing it. He's going between the northern part of Australia and you know, the Solomon Islands or like Papua New Guinea or something like that.
Building a bridge.
But as a mode of transportation. He's just going on a holiday to Papua New Guinea.
And this can it be called Get Over It?
Yeah. Great. Could be called Get Over It. Or A Bridge.
Yes.
The Bridge. You know, there's already a show called The Bridge.
Yeah. Like, well, that's perfect. We can get in some of those people who want to watch Scandi Noir.
Yeah.
And then when they see this, they're like, hang on, I thought I was ready for Scandi Noir, but turns out...
I'm watching Whitey Bridge.
Yeah. Get a bridge up it.
Maybe it could be somebody from, what's the My Island Home place? Torres Strait Islands?
Yes.
I mean, look, I don't want to imply that this was their idea, but this could be like if, you know, we could get a Torres Strait Islander
mm-hmm.
and a bridge designer,
mm-hmm.
and he could claim that his thing there, you know, in his culture.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That bridge building was used as a mode of transportation. Yeah. And so he's just going on a trip to Australia to visit some of his family.
This is interesting. It also brings to mind the Voyage of the Contiki, which was that famous raft that was built as an experiment to prove whether or not people could have traveled by raft to, I believe, like the Philippines or like various of the Pacific Islands.
Yeah.
Right. And they proved it was possible. But what if about an alternative theory suggesting that the way people got there was by bridge?
Yeah.
Right. So we have people trying to recreate a bridge using ancient construction methods, which goes to Easter Island.
Well, I mean, people talk about the land bridge that people came on, onto Australia 60, 70,000 years ago. There's a chance that that was a man-made
land bridge. Yeah, right. Like,
it's just a guy with a pail and a bucket.
Yep.
Is the pail the bucket or is it the...
I think a pail is a bucket.
Okay, great. What's the other one?
It's not a whiter shade of pale. Is that about a bucket?
I guess it could be a whiter shade of silver.
It's absolutely true. All right, Alistair, here's another alternative historical documentary.
Yeah.
Right, because I've seen a few documentaries, and this is one of the things that baffles people, is the heads on Easter Island, right?
Yeah.
Those big rocks.
Yeah.
They want to know how they made them, how they got them to where they are, because the rock that they're made out of is from a completely different part of the island to where the things are actually located, and, you know, they weigh tons and tons and tons.
Mm.
How is this possible, right?
Yeah.
How did they get them there? How did they get them there,
yeah.
Right? My theory is that they didn't, right?
The reason why
I'm going to make a documentary about where the central thesis is they didn't make them, and they didn't get them there. So day one, I arrive on Easter Island.
Mm.
I go to look at the heads. I see that they're there, and I turn, and then I do a bit to the camera. So at this stage, it's not looking good for the theory.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure what happens next.
No, but I think you just look at it. You just shake your head, and you just go, "No way,
no way,
just no way."
Yeah,
like that. And then you find some way in which these rocks were just there.
Yeah.
And then they were worn away by weather.
Yeah. Or people say they look like men.
But
do they?
And he just gets like a basic rock off the ground.
Yeah.
He says, you can see your face in that. Look at that. Look, that's the eyes there.
Yeah.
That's a... Look, is that the mouth? Look, that's sort of like a nose.
Oh, look, it's a man.
Oh, look. Oh, what incredible civilization made these and then died. No one was ever here.
I could be the first person to see these natural phenomena. Is that too dumb?
Yeah, I think that means it's perfect.
Great. Oh, thank God. I was worried there, Alistair, for a while when I thought it might not be too dumb enough. And yet, This is just part and parcel with my mild frustrations series, where I feel like so many of those historical documentaries, they have a tiny little bit of interesting information, you know, they have some new theory about the collapse of a particular civilization.
Yeah.
And then they just drag it out.
Then they show you the same footage a few times.
Same footage, the same recreations, the same computer graphic of the shape of the pyramid.
They just get a different talking heads to say roughly the same thing in slightly different words.
And then at the end they say, so did it happen this way? Well, it's inconclusive, but it's possible.
Mm.
And this has opened up a new chapter in our understanding of the thing.
Mm.
Nah.
What about a document? It's a historical documentary called The Thing.
Yeah.
Obviously. And we're going to be looking at The Thing.
Yeah.
Today, this is The Thing.
I mean,
what is The Thing?
What? Okay, Alistair, I have a small vibe about this what you're talking about, and I don't know if you have more detail that you'd like to discuss, but there's something about that I do enjoy.
Yeah.
And what I like to imagine about that is that it's a group of people who were going to make a historical documentary and then kept putting off and putting off the decision about what they were going to make it about until it was too late and it was day one and they just had to start filming.
What is it and where was it made? This thing.
And how did it get there?
And how did it get there?
And why did it stop? The idea was that, like, we'll just do a lot of the general stuff early on, and then, like, when we work out what it's going to be, we'll nail it down and then we'll edit it so it's clear. You know, the important thing is that we just start. We had to start today. We've got the camera equipment.
I sort of just at
the moment, booked in the experts.
My picture that I have in my mind is that it's like some sort of once wet and now dried mass of like toilet paper that was left on the road. And like they're excavating it, they're kind of getting it off the road and like it's not, look, I'm not suggesting it's used toilet paper. I'm just saying it was like, you know, if it makes you feel better, it could be sort of like that sort of hand drying paper, but that comes in that long roll that just never stops and you got to tear it off yourself.
All right, Alistair. So what about this? It's a historical documentary about, and I'm sorry, everyone, but it's about a shit on the floor of a public toilet, right? And I don't know how long it's been there. Maybe ages, maybe not all that long at all. But, I mean, we probably have the same questions about that shit that we do about the heads on Easter Island. Who put this here? Why here?
Why here? Why did they carry it here from there, which is where the toilet is?
Yeah, exactly. Why not over there? It clearly belongs over there, and yet it's here.
DNA testing suggests you could find the family, at least the family of the people maybe that it was...
That did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And maybe then you could trace it back to like who kind of lives in this area from that DNA.
Yeah. What can we learn?
Ask people, anybody who was like, who'd been to this particular shopping center.
Yeah, it's a shopping center. Yeah, that's good. There's a, you know, all the analysis that you can do, the computer models, the recreation, the talking to experts, the various theories.
The way that like they were crouching to make it happen or how they were sitting or.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and there's people who say that there's no way that a person could have done this. You know, or a man. Maybe several people working together.
Some people suggest it might have been aliens.
Yeah. Are you saying that aliens could have done this? No. No, I'm not. No. The atmosphere in this room has preserved incredibly well the shape and the form. Protected here under this roof and between these walls and on this floor, this human shit has remained for what could be hours.
Talk to the cleaners who should have been there a long time ago. Maybe they did it.
Oh, wow. It's an inside job.
An inside jobby.
We're your jobbies.
Andy,
we have so many ideas.
We have so many ideas, and we have
three
words from a listener.
Three simple words.
Firstly, I would like to introduce our listener, Casey Baker.
Casey Baker.
Who I believe has been a supporter of us for a long time.
Thank you so much, Casey Baker.
Thank you so much, Casey Baker.
It's lovely that you choose to support the podcast.
She's...
Assuming you do choose.
She's... Hopefully you're choosing. Hopefully this is a choice.
If you're somehow being forced to do this...
Coerced.
...with your next three words that you submit to the podcast, please try and send us some kind of a message.
Message of help, maybe like coordinates.
Yeah.
And we'll advise the authorities...
Are the three words, please send help?
Please send help, yeah, but...
Oh, imagine if this was the only connection you had to the outside world, right?
All she's got is a podcast app and
money,
a Patreon account.
Yes, and this was the only... She had $3 in her bank account, and this was the only way she was able to send any information to any of the podcasts that she subscribes to. Anyway,
I mean,
Casey
Baker, you can also just send us a message through Patreon.
Yeah,
but I mean
that section of the screen to press that button is cracked on her phone.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So she can't press the button to do that.
Okay,
this is now pretty heavily based on an episode of Press Gang I saw once, where one of the girls was trapped in a bank safe, and she had a cell phone, but she couldn't actually she couldn't actually talk because her cell phone was broken. She had to call different people who had lived at different locations on a map, and then from the missed calls and where they were, they worked out where she was
by
doing like a cross across it all.
Well,
so if it's like that, then anyway, so three words.
Well, her three words, Casey Baker's three words, are one... Band woman.
Band as in B-A-N-D?
No, B-A-N-N-E-D.
Oh, so she can no longer enter wherever it is.
Maybe womanhood.
She can no longer enter womanhood. So this is about trans-exclusionary radical feminism?
I certainly hope not.
No?
I mean, look, it could be. I just don't know how I would tackle that.
How we would navigate that particular field of politics.
Like, what if you encountered a film that was called One Band Woman? If you encountered it, what would you think would be in the synopsis of that film or in the tagline? You know, it could be she was trying to work her way to the top.
Yeah.
Of. You know, let's say garbage man industry.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been excluded from the upper echelons.
I think I see this film as clear Oscar bait. It's total Oscar bait, mm-hmm. One Band Woman.
Yeah.
It's got a real kind of Three Billboards kind of a vibe, but I feel like it's more about someone who got drunk one night at a pub and was no longer allowed to come back in, right?
Right.
But then Erin Brockovich style... started a class action for all people who've got drunk and done obnoxious things at pubs.
Yeah.
And got all of them together to share their stories, got them on the witness stand, and took it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
So you think it's an Amy Schumer vehicle?
I think it's an Amy Schumer vehicle. I have been picturing Amy Schumer. She's like the Erin Brockovich of idiots,
of drunk fucks,
right? And it takes it all the way to the top, and it's called One Band Woman.
She suggests that there was something in their water, which was alcohol.
Yeah. and then I think maybe at the end she loses. It's right. We see how sort of selfish and obnoxious all these people are at every level of who've done this.
Yeah, like so that,
and they don't really have a leg to stand on.
Because that's it. Like they go, you know, like the judge after her big final speech.
Yeah.
You know, she's representing herself.
Yeah.
She's had a couple.
Yeah, of course. Dutch courage.
Yeah. It's sort of like a failure of Legally Blonde.
Can you get Dutch other things? Can you get Dutch legal ovens. Expertise?
Oh, absolutely.
A couple of whiskeys, cheeky whiskeys mm-hmm. under the bench there. Get yourself a bit of Dutch legal expertise.
Yeah, maybe like some Dutch contracts, which are just regular contracts that you spilt alcohol.
Yeah,
on.
There's a few rings on them.
Yeah. she does her big speech at the end. In the end, don't we all go overboard sometime? Isn't it that excess that makes us moderate?
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't, in a way, life a pub? And isn't death, is it an only death itself that reserves the right to ban us from entering?
Who here has never gone overboard? And it's in the going overboard, but not too much, that we are, you know, regular.
Last I checked, the Constitution enshrines free speech. What is speech? Stuff that comes out of our mouth. And just because it comes out in the form of air, that's fine. But if it comes out in the form of vomit with chunks into the face of a bouncer, that's not my America.
No. And then the judge will be like, and then also she's got like a big crowd of sort of bros and you know, young women and things like that. And also kind of like, you know, some middle-aged people because they've got a big drinking problem these days.
They do, actually. Yeah. Like, glasses of wine. Like, if you're having 2-3 glasses of wine a night, that's actually not okay.
Well, in terms of your health, I think it's actually fine.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's even lovely.
Good on you.
Yeah, but...
can I come over?
The science is not looking good for you right now.
Science is very judgmental.
Well, it's...
oh, you're killing yourself.
Yeah, it's like a... go home, Mom.
Go home, logical conclusions.
You're sober.
You know what? I don't like conclusions. I prefer discussion.
Or introductions.
Introductions.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, hello, apparatus.
Yeah. Oh, hello, glass of wine.
I like apparatus. Just a nice picture of some stuff.
So she's done her big speech. Everybody's cheered. And the judge is like, well, it was a very rousing
Everybody's
speech.
Cheered and everybody's cheersed because
they've all got big jugs. Yeah, it's like Lagans. Oktoberfest behind her. It's a very reasonable approach to humanity. And sort of the laws around drinking are pretty clear. And there's not even any gray area whatsoever here. Yeah, what you did and why you got banned is you're absolutely in the wrong.
Yeah.
Therefore, you are absolutely
in the wrong.
I uphold the ban and I think maybe clean yourself up or something.
There you go.
Aaron Brockovich of drunks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich. Thank you.
Aaron Brockovich.
Interesting.
Because it's a woman.
Yeah. Heron Brockovich. Because it's a woman.
Heron Brockovich.
Because it's a woman.
Because it's a woman.
Oh. Thank you, Casey Baker, for those three words. I hope we, made you not depressed about that.
Yeah.
And, Alistair, would you like us to take us through the sketches that we've come up with?
Sure.
What I'm going to call today.
Today, great. We got Penal Queef.
Pee-quee.
Penal Queef. It's a guy who didn't realize that people queef out of their penis or sort of genital fart.
He'd missed it somehow.
And then he gets a second opinion. That person also didn't know. But then he gets a third opinion, and that person does know again.
Yeah.
So
and back and forth and back and forth
and back and forth
and so on and so on.
And then we've got the reverse sue, which is the kev. You kev somebody when you're trying to take them to court so you can do something nice for them, like when they don't accept
did we settle on the kev?
Eh?
The kev?
I think so.
So you Ken.
Oh, the Ken, sorry, the Ken.
Alistair, come on mate,
Ken. I'm going to Ken the pants onto you. That's, you know, that's a person who's not doing so well and doesn't have any pants.
Yes.
And you're trying to do a nice thing for them. They go, I don't need your charity.
I don't need your pants.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll see you in court. I just think you're a really nice man and you deserve pantaloons.
Pantaloons? He's
getting them really old-fashioned pants, which have come back into fashion.
Oh.
And so he's trying to, like, come on, man. It's like, it's a kind of like an episode of Queer Eye where they're, you know, they're getting them stuff from the the cutting edge of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that's going to look weird in 5 to 7 years.
Yep.
Anyway, we got old song, Fade Out, Big Bang. That's when all the songs that have been faded out from, you know, back in the 60s when songs didn't just end.
They realign.
They're all still playing in the background at just in unhearable levels. But at some point, their beats align or just like, you know, the opening snare drum all hit together. And it's a big bang, and it probably bursts everybody's eardrums. It's the last thing we hear.
Yeah, it's what wiped out the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's even wiping out the eardrums of babies that are in utero.
Oh, and then we're all deaf.
All deaf, at least until the next lot of babies after that.
Yeah, but then we will have lost language. We won't be able to talk.
9 months was all it took.
Yeah.
I mean, we could still, like, deaf people can still communicate. They still have language.
No.
We got Bridge Bridge, which is a 4-part series called Maybe Over It.
Over It.
Yeah, just get over it. Rather than Get Over It. I think it's just get, you know, there's that expression like, might build a bridge and get over it.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, that's why I'm removing, I think the get makes it lamer.
I'm sorry.
Andy, I'm just.
Mate.
I'm putting in my creative input.
Build a bridge and get over it.
You, why don't you?
Is putting in your creative input removing bits of my creative input?
That's what
is that all is, you know how to do is destroy, Alistair?
Writing is editing, hey, Andrew?
No, that's true. That's a really good point.
Then we got Dumb Easter Island Theory documentary. This is Andy who's there. They weren't.
They didn't do it.
They didn't
and
do
they
it.
They aren't there.
They're not there. Oh, so you're saying they're not even there.
Yeah.
No, they're over here.
No, well, I go there and they are there. I say, okay, well, the theory's not perfectly
correct,
but did they do it?
I just thought you were. Well, maybe you're just saying there's slightly different positions to what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're actually over here.
Oh, no, all right.
Well, no, I think that's what exactly what they're saying, and he's trying to, like, line it up from the images, like, on his phone. No, it's pretty close, but.
Oh, fuck, this is the worst idea, and I'm sorry.
No, I like it. Then we've got The Thing documentary.
Yes, The Thing.
I think that this is maybe like a web series of different ones, different objects maybe. Okay. The 10 things throughout of history.
Yeah. So not the 7 greatest wonders. These are just 10 things, the 10 things. I think it should be 4 myself, but yeah, 10's good too.
Andy, I can tell when something is a 4-part series. This is a 10 things of history. We could do the podcast. We could do it as a podcast.
Great.
We got the shopping center toilet shit. This is another documentary based on the Easter Island sort of shit doco type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Aaron Brockovich of drunks who got banned from a bar.
I want to start a show.
Yeah,
it's going to be a sitcom or something. It's going to be called Previously On, right? And every episode is just whatever happened last week. It's just summarizing what happened
so
last week.
So you're just making one episode. But what do you make on the first episode? You show empty space. Because, I mean, it's the pilot's going to be the really difficult one to make.
Yeah, well, I mean, the pilot's always the hardest one, isn't it? Because you're setting up the world and the characters. Anyway.
And the rest write themselves.
Yeah.
Great.
Aaron Brockovich of drunks. Great. You didn't even.
There was just no opening for me. I was trying to find a pattern.
That was all pattern. Mm. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I'm sorry about that incident with the music before.
The music before.
Yeah. We really do appreciate it.
I think music before would be a good name for your brother's band.
I'll get in touch. George, if you're listening, when music you edit before. The podcast, music before. Alistair, where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook at the two in the Think Tank. They can find us on Twitter at Two in Tank. They can find me at Alistair TB. They can find you at Stupid Old Andy. They can find us on Patreon/Two in Tank, and they can donate money if they want to support the podcast. And they can find us on iTunes, and they can leave a review. And just look, to be honest, it's the best thing in the world. So, you know, I know it takes effort. Just go for it.
Just go.
Like right now, I know you're going, hey, I'm not going to do it, but you could.
And you could
just
do it.
The amount of joy it brings.
When could you do it? When you're waiting in your car at the traffic lights. Just get your phone out.
Yeah.
Right? And start typing. And maybe if there's no one behind you, you can probably sit there through a couple of cycles of the lights and just get it done.
Or you
Because
these
are the times in your life when you actually do have time. You don't realize it, but you could get quite a lot done.
Or you could do it when you're sharing a nice moment with a loved one.
Right.
Because they love you, so they're going to put up with some of your flaws.
Exactly.
You know? So that's a great time to go on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever the things that allow reviews.
And write reviews.
Write reviews.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.